It's 4:45 here on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan's in the house.
Hi.
Welcome, sir.
Oh, my voice seems to be relatively back, too.
Yes.
Gosh, that's nice.
There's a resonance there that was, a little lacking last week.
It was tough. But, I'm back and I'm feeling good. It's probably because I've been awake for, I think, about a solid 24 hours between just,
ooh,
I don't know, insomnia, weird things. My son's been having night terrors again lately,
yeah.
I just find myself, like, waiting. Also, that and cat fights. I just anticipate it, so I just stay awake a lot.
Outside or in the house?
Outside.
Oh.
We've recently let our cat become more of an outdoor cat than an indoor cat, which sanity-wise has helped a lot, except for those times when he engages skunks and other vermin. It's all good, though. So I had an interesting start to the day. Speaking of that, I wanted to talk about really quick before I launch into my topic for the day, which is the other California. I had the pleasure, I posted this on our Facebook page in case anybody noticed that. I had the pleasure with drinking the wines of August Kessler with the man himself. August Kessler is a winemaker in the Rheingau region of Germany. For those of you who remember when we talked about Germany, all the wine regions of note in Germany are basically near the southern border, right? I mean, it's a very cold northern European country. And as we've talked a lot about ripening difficulties and things like that, of course, they've definitely had difficulty getting things ripe, so much so that he was talking about one village in particular that was always sort of derided as not having enough substance and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll get to that village in a second. So he took over his family's estate in the Rheingau in 1977, so 40 years ago. And he's been on the road for about 10 weeks now doing publicity junket. This is normally a time of year before the harvest, after you've done all your bottling and everything, that you go to your various foreign markets and do the schmoozy schmooz and talk with wine merchants like myself and, try to get some placements, things like that. And then you go home and, in a couple of weeks you start the hard work of the harvest. Well, he was freaking out. Speaking of someone who didn't sleep last night, this guy, he's like, I'm sorry, I'm not really myself today. And, I didn't sleep. I got a call from my vineyard manager in my southernmost vineyards that the harvest is starting now, 7 weeks prior to when it used to start.
Wow.
In 1977, when he took over the family vineyards. And there's climate deniers or change deniers. As I put in my Facebook post, there's a group of people on this planet that are not questioning climate change, and that is people growing grapes and seeing the effect on agriculture. 7 weeks, 2 months almost. That is just unbelievable when you think about the fact that the ripeness levels can change in a second and that you might have to get out, this night versus this night to harness to get... again, these people who drink, Franzia boxes and stuff, we're not talking about those kind of grapes. I'm talking about the really good wineries that are on it, who are true artisans, who are checking the Brix level, right? So the sugar content and the constantly, and just making sure that this patch versus this patch versus this patch. And again, this guy got a call 7 weeks in advance of when he used to get that call. And it's just that was just staggering. So just an interesting thing to think about. And for some people, they love it. Now, the village I was talking about, the village of Lorsch, L-O-R-C-H.
Lorsch.
Lorsch. So they used to get derided. They were like, oh, man, they make terrible wine. They have a lot of acidity. They don't. Blah, 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 blah. Well, this guy is making a stunning wine right now out of grapes solely from that vineyard. That is just, it's a steal. It's just this beautiful like a knife's edge example of Riesling that is not cheap, because the slopes, he indicated, are about at a 70 degree pitch. So, pretty easy to farm. Just tremendous that they would even bother to do that. But the grapes are so good that it's worth it. So just interesting to think about the good and the bad. Today we're talking, speaking of good and bad, about the other side of California, the side that not a lot of people see. Of course, we know the Cabs, the Shards, the Merlots, but I want to talk today about the other California, the Rhone Rangers, and various French grapes that I think are really, really killer, not only in France, but of course in America. So The interesting thing is, well, American viticultural areas, AVAs, are important to kind of understanding American wine in terms of, you know, regionality and maybe, you know, trends. There's no real restrictions in the ways that are found in Europe, right? So in the village of Saint-Joseph in the northern Rhone in France, it's Syrah. That's what you're using for your red grape because that's the local restriction. There's no such things, you know, if you're in Sonoma and you want to grow Merlot, grow Merlot. You want to grow Syrah, grow Syrah. You want to put your name on it and say it's Syrah, you can do that. They don't really care as long as the grapes are from that area and you've basically paid your taxes and paid your dues. You can just put your stuff out there. What does that mean? It means good stuff, means bad stuff. It means you can do kind of whatever you want. If you in your gut feel that this is the sort of grape that needs to be planted here, do it. And why is that important? Well, back in the 70s, some folks with the means and the vision, including the guy who makes the wine today, Fred Klein. This is from Klein Vineyards. I'm sure Klein, C-L-I-N-E, is a fairly familiar name to anybody in the wine Cognacetti. He was actually the grandson of one of the Jacuzzi brothers who came over from Italy and of spa fame, as it
those
were.
Those Jacuzzi brothers.
The Jacuzzi, is there any other, really? That small fortune made by those brothers enabled, what is his name? I wrote it down here somewhere. Valeriano Jacuzzi, to teach his grandson, Fred Klein, how to grow grapes in a place called Oakley. So kind of off the beaten path in terms of wine regions in California, just kind of a laid-back hippie place. And in that area, there was some really old plantings of some of these Rhone varietals. And Fred and later his wife, who was also into wine, went to a lot of efforts to restore these really old vines. And so we're talking like, 100-plus-year-old vines. So they had Mourvèdre, which we've talked a lot about. So that nice kind of ripe raspberry, chocolatey grape. Carignan, which is a sort of a blackberry cassis, very kind of a wild grape. Marsan, Roussan, Viognier. So three very classic southern French varietals of varying characteristics. And then, of course, the thing that made Klein Cellar so famous was their Zinfandel, and that's where they started to plant it. So if anybody has ever had Klein Ancient Vine Zinfandel, it's a very, very famous product, and it's still, for something you can find in a lot of places, it's a pretty good bottle of wine. So if you're ever in, you know, the backwoods and desperate for a thing that you might be able to find even on a grocery store shelf, if you find Klein Zinfandel, it's a decent bottle of wine every time. And of course, they have now, 40 years later, they have a lot more areas under vine so that they have a lot more places to choose massive amount of Zinfandel from. So after that, they moved on to Carneros, where they planted things that are a little more friendly to a little bit warmer weather, including the grape that we're drinking today there, Syrah. Syrah, of course, the famed Northern Rhone red varietal. So this is really, really pleasant. And so Syrah, for people who were drinking California Pinots for years and thought that they were really plump, ripe wines, no, they were Pinot with probably a lot of Syrah added. But that doesn't mean they're bad. Syrah is a very, very cool wine. Sometimes it can be kind of meaty, smoky, dark berry. In this case, this is a very sort of, blueberry and almost like licorice. It's drinking kind of very juicy right now, but a really, really nice wine. The Rhone Rangers, just really quickly before we run out of time, there's others, and they do, this is a nonprofit, it's a real thing, it's a nonprofit organization that's dedicated towards promoting these American-grown Rhone varietals. Their rules stipulate that you have to have 75% of your entire winery's product containing Rhone varietals, one of the 22 or all 22 or as many combinations as you want. Klein is definitely one of the founding members. Bonnie Dune is another famous one. So really cool stuff. Check out Rhone varietals from California. Did want to mention really quick, we have a tasting on Thursday where we will be tasting this Klein Syrah and some other really good, California wines. And then on the 29th, so next Friday, we're going to be doing what we've been talking about for a little while, this Bubba's Angels tasting, the Kittens, Leggings, and Wine, oh my. So we're going to have kittens up for adoption. We're going to have leggings. We're going to have essential oils, we're going to have wine, we're going to have reading of kids' books with Briar Patch, we're going to have everything. So 5 to 7 next Friday. Come support good causes and find something you like. There's going to be something for everyone, I promise. And then next month on the 19th, which will be our regular tasting, we're going to, for Bangor Beer Week, we're going to be doing a beer tasting to benefit the Bangor Symphony. So check that out as well.
I like this a lot. A lot like of character in this.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's, you know, that's what they do. I mean, again, so one, we have 1 minute to appreciate this. I envy Bob when he's on here, because you do sort of tend to taste his stuff and then just kind of for it's a good 30 seconds. It really sounds tremendous.
It's hard to stop.
It is hard to stop. I mean, even the smell in here when I came in, and of course I had been prepped for what you were going to be getting. I was told, so I was anticipating your pleasure, and it came through the radio very obviously.
Thank you.
So well done, Bob. Everybody, check those dishes out, by the way, because those are going to be around for a little while, at least a couple of them.
Good luck around the house keeping those crime fighters in your home.
Yes, well, I mean, everybody needs tiny solvers of crime to keep you safe at night. And
there you go.
My kids double as that.
That'll do it. Cheers. Thank you, Eric. Eric Mahan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.